Lord, thank you for this time that we can gather together. Thank you for calling us together as a family. Lord, for us to worship together corporately. Lord, as we come together and as we bow our heads in prayer and as we open your word and as we sing songs and hymns to you, do the work in us, Lord, that we cannot do ourselves. Lord, nobody in this room, we can't even change our own hearts, the things in our lives. We are powerless against our own selves. Father, we need help from you. Grant repentance where we need repentance in our lives, in the areas of our lives that we need encouragement. Lord, would you do that? Lord, would you do both of them at the same time? Lord, our prayer is really simple. Please do not leave us to ourselves. You do this work in all of us. Do this work in our body. Here at this church, Lord, help us to be your people. Lord, ignite us, set a fire in us, change us for your honor and for your glory. And we will give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, which is strange to say, you're at church, you should have your Bible. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which is probably the, as you know, if you've been here long enough, this is the classic passage of Scripture with pertaining to the Lord's Supper. You know, it's interesting that through this time of separation, we have... I'm going to stand over here a little bit away from the Lord's table. I've heard a lot of people talk about how they've actually enjoyed being away from everybody and how worshiping, how they can listen to whatever sermons they want to listen to and listen to whatever music they want to listen to. And I want you to know that we live in a society that we have become, believe it or not, even though this time and where we are in history, we are more connected worldwide than ever. We're really more separate than we've ever been. In history. And it's a danger. It is a danger for God's people to start to believe, well, you know, I can worship at home. I can listen to whatever sermons I want to and listen to the genre of worship songs that I want to and listen and do and build my own worship time, which at times, that may be necessary when we go through certain seasons when God, and for whatever reason in our individual lives, we're providentially hindered from gathering together. But there's a reason that Scripture teaches us and tells us, do not forsake the assembling of believers. Because He has built His church for communion, for us to be in fellowship with one another, for us to love each other, for us to communicate with each other, share burdens with each other. Listen, hold each other accountable. Walk with each other. There's a reason He has called His church together, and as we've gone through this time, it's amazing how I'm just hearing little things and some from people that I really love and friends and that I love and trust. Even some from here that have whispered and said, I kind of like not being together. There's a danger in that. There's a danger because listen to me. Satan would like nothing more than for us to be separated. I'm serious. He would like for nothing more, think about it, than for families, individual families, husband and wife, mother and children, father and children, for there to be separation in the family. He wants that to happen. So why would he not want separation to happen in the body of Christ? So we need to guard against that. We need to ask ourselves hard questions about loving the brethren and loving each other, and what does this mean? And as we come and partake of the Lord's table today, this is part of this ordinance. Our Lord has given two ordinances to the church. This is one of the ordinances that He has given us for this purpose of unity amongst this body called New Hope and His body universally. But He has called us together. He has given us this ordinance, and we need to take it extremely serious. This is not anything for us to tread over lightly, to just run through. It is not just about symbolism. It's not just about, oh yeah, the blood is for His shed blood and the body, the bread is for His broken body. It's way more than that. It's way more than that. It's something for us to come together and experience repentance and unity, for us to remember what Christ has done for us. Amen? To stop, for us to run if you are a child of God, if you are a born-again believer, for you to run to this table. We should be looking forward to this. And do you know, this is part of the reason, this is a side note, this is the lack of meaning and understanding and really teaching on the Lord's table is part of the reason why sin is running rampant through churches all over the world. Because it should be taken so seriously that it should be a means of discipline, that you should hold yourself back from the table if you need to go get things right with another brother or sister, and especially with your wife or husband. Amen? That you need to have self-control and say, I'm not going to come to this table this time, but I'm going to get this right, and next time we have the Lord's table, I'm going to be ready to participate. So it's an opportunity for discipline and correction in the church. So with that said, let's just quickly look at this passage. This passage is very simple, but it has been very misunderstood. There's really just two parts in it. The first part basically gives us the purpose of the Lord's Supper. The second part tells us how we need to prepare for the Lord's Supper. So I'm going to read it as a whole and then make a few little points, and then we're going to partake of this together. You ready? It says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 says this. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of our Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But if we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. All right, a few points. The purpose of this. The reason we do this is he gave us. This was one part, as I've said this to you guys so many times. The Passover meal was a huge, long, drawn-out meal. And they had several cups I wrote it down one time. Let me see. They had like a cup of justification, a cup of thanksgiving, a cup of redemption, a cup of gratitude. And so they would, as they would go through these meals, they would stop, read a passage of scripture, and they would partake of the cup together. Well, when Christ got to the cup of redemption, that's when he redefined. And he said, this is now a cup that I'm giving to you and I'm sharing with you. And this is now going to represent my blood. And so as they went through this meal, remembering the Passover, y'all know what the Passover was, right? When God showed favor in the people of Israel and they left Egypt and the Exodus. So Jewish people or Orthodox Jews still do and participate. They're still waiting for the Messiah to come. But Jesus, so we took that one section of the meal, Protestants, and that's what you have here. The Lord's table, the cup of redemption that he redefined and said, this is now a cup of in my name, for in my, this represents what I am doing for you. So it's a time for us to remember the work on the cross, his life here on earth. And he said twice in this passage, he said, remember. Do this in remembrance of me. We eat and we come also. There's another purpose we come to this is we have fellowship with our Lord. It's a time of fellowship. We sat down with a meal with as believers together, and we have fellowship with each other, and Christ is the head of our gathering. We also meet to have fellowship, as I said, with the body of Christ, with each other. It's a time, and we'll look at it, for us to sit down and enjoy one another. A time of celebration for us, for what the Lord has done in our lives. A thanksgiving, and for us to be so grateful for how he has taken care of us. I've shared this many times with you, but when my grandmother was still alive and we would gather together, my whole family, the Griffin side of the family, we would all be together all around the table. There was no fussing and fighting. She just wouldn't have it. We sat down, we enjoyed a meal together, and we were one family together. That's part of what is going on right now, today. So it's a time for us to gather together as a body. And it's a time also for us to remember and anticipate that Jesus said He is coming back. For us to sit down and remember what He's done on the cross, what He did as He walked on earth, but also remember that He has said He is coming back. So as we take this wafer and this juice and as we're sitting there, we need to remember, Lord, You're not going to leave Your church orphaned. We are not orphans. He's coming. And our Father's, and He's gone to build a place for us and prepare a place for us, and He's going to come back and get us. Amen. So it's a time for us to remember that. So the next part is, how do we prepare for this? What do we do? What's some practical ways to prepare? Well, it was a long time ago, the elders and deacons of our church decided we were going to start announcing the Lord's table ahead of time and saying out loud, you need to get ready to prepare yourself to come to this table. Now, honestly, we should be getting ready to come and worship together every Sunday. Honestly, this is just a little bit more visible and easier tool to explain this, but we should take this example of this table on Sunday morning, and we should say, we need to be preparing ourselves every Sunday. What are you doing Saturday night? What are you doing during the week? What are you ready when you come to the Lord's table or come to service on Sunday together, corporately? Are you ready to worship the living God? So we decided, I mean, it's been years. We were like, we're going to tell everybody, we're going to ask everybody to prepare their hearts, to prepare their families, and don't take this time just, oh, it's the Lord's Supper. Yeah, we'll take it. We're supposed to take it. Sit with the meaning and the gravity of it. It's also a time for us to ask the Lord for forgiveness in our lives. To go through the work of repenting and getting things right and working on relationships with other brothers and sisters. To not let bitterness and hatred and hardness, let that fester and grow in our lives. You know, honestly, if the body of Christ would genuinely take this time seriously, it would eliminate a lot of difficulties in our churches. Honestly, it would eliminate a lot of difficulties in marriages. Because how in the world are you going to come and be thankful for the blood that was shed for you and the body that was broken for you and yet be mad at your spouse? How is that possible? How is it possible to be upset with our brother and sister and come to this table and go through this motion and be upset with other people in our lives? We need to feel the gravity of it. It's a time for us to use as confessing our sins to the Lord and getting things right. And also, lastly, this table is for believers only. If you don't know Christ, if you are outside the Lord, you don't need to come to this table. This is for the family. This is for believers. If you need to talk to somebody after service, please do. You can come talk to me. You can talk to Keith, Rodney, Sonny, Rick. You can talk. There's other men here. If you're not in the Lord, or you're struggling maybe where you are, maybe you need to talk and let's get some things straight before you come to the table. But if you're not a believer, this is for the family. And the only way that you're in the family is that if Jesus is your Lord. So, this is for believers. This also should be a tool for evangelism. I know that in my family and in many of your families, many of your family, your children too, I know when my children were young, we held them back from the Lord's table because we wanted the excitement and the joy and the anticipation of taking the Lord's table. We wanted that to build in them. Dad, can I take it? Dad, when can we take it? Dad, when are we? And we would hedge them and say, you're not ready yet. You're not ready. So that we used it as a tool to evangelize our own children. I'm not sure if they're still ready. I'm not sure sometimes if I'm ready. But the Lord knows. And if you have given your life to the Lord, if you have submitted to Him, if He is the Lord of your life, then you run to this table. Use it for what it's meant to be, why God gave us this one of two great ordinances that He has given the church. Use it rightly.